Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining me. This is Sasha, SashaTalks.com. I hope everyone started off their week on a great note. Tonight, we'll be talking about a topic that a lot of people that I cross paths with have encountered and experienced in some shape or form. And the topic will be mourning. But before we move forward, I would like to remind everyone that all of the content presented on Sasha Talks does adhere to the disclaimers of the site and the entity. So what about mourning do I want to discuss? I'll share a brief overview of that, because what is mourning? We could be mourning a relationship, someone passing, an opportunity that we walked away from. It's usually related to expression of deep sorrow. Someone or something that was present has eventually moved on, or either you have walked away from it. It's a synonymous with grief, and there are many different rituals that people engage in to mourn, whether it's a person, a thing, or an opportunity. And there is the emotional aspect of mourning, the mental aspect of mourning, how people react to a loss. And by a loss, it could be material or a loss of a person. And there are five stages of mourning that were presented in a book that was published back in 1969. And thanks to Psych Central, I thought to share that book. And a lot of research has been done since 1969. And there are many aspects of mourning that psychologists, doctors have covered. But we're going to just zoom in on the book on death and dying that was authored by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. And in the book, she talks about five different stages of mourning. It's really important for people to know that when we mourn, it's not necessary that you will encounter all five of the stages, or they would be in the same order that they were depicted in the book. And sometimes people skip the stages and then they revisit them later in time. There's no proper duration of mourning for any keen individual. There's no formula of how we all go through and react to life experiences. So one of the things that she points out is it's not necessary for everybody out there to mourn. Everybody reacts differently. Some people go in a state of shock because they don't expect an event or a person to pass. And then there are people that no matter how much advance notice that they have, for example, a loved one who may not be doing well with their health, you know eventually their time will come. But depending on how deep your relationship is with that person, it doesn't matter whether you saw it coming or you didn't see it coming, the impact that it hits you hard with will remain with you. And you will have to work through it in your own time and in your own way. The first step that she talks about is denial and isolation. Typically, when things don't go according to plan, or we don't like bad news, people are usually in denial. They are running away from the news. They don't want to accept it, whether they're mentally rejecting it, emotionally rejecting it. It's a challenge for them to rationalize their reality. For some people, it might take weeks or months to come to grips that a loved one has passed away. And they're mourning a life that was present, and all of a sudden that person has transitioned into another form. And if they believe in the hereafter, they might have some solace knowing that their loved one is at peace. Other people are really adamant by choosing not to rationalize the events that occur before them. It's similar to, for example, let's say if you go through a divorce, or you get laid off from a job, or you get fired from a job, or any event that suddenly pauses your life or forces a pause on your life and it's involuntary. You are going to try to rationalize of how could this be? I should have been more aware of this. I could have prevented it. Did I do enough before this person passed away? All of these thoughts follow in your thought process. Everyone is different. Some people choose to think about it and they overanalyze it. And then there are people who choose not to think about it and they shut that door and think that they don't have to answer any of the questions that are being projected from the heart. That is where people learn how to balance the mind and the emotional aspect of these challenges that come along our path. Another emotion that people experience is anger. It's an indirect emotion in reference to denial, where there's a lot of resentment. They're going to be resenting their environment, the people. Let's say if your loved one passed away and the doctor who broke the news to you, you're going to resent that person. You're going to start finding a reason somehow to project blame onto another source. Sources could be things and people. If your relationship fell apart, you may be mourning your relationship because you know that you're not going back to that, whether it's a marriage or a relationship. Regardless of the label, you know that you're not going to be reverting to that relationship. You will be mourning. You might be projecting blame onto that partner. You might be projecting blame onto yourself, even though you've done everything in your power. Somehow people find loopholes mentally to escape the experience of mourning. And then they find themselves in a catch-22 cycle that there's only so far you could run from these challenges in life, because somehow life has a way of bringing us back into our mold in order for us to face the reality before us. Then they talk about bargaining. This is where people take a time out and they start trying to regain control of the situation, making sense of what happened. And they realize that whatever has left their path, it was beyond their control. And then they start replaying history of where things could have gone differently, where they could have done more. They could have caught the red flags that were in the making. Mourning is a very pliable emotion, a very pliable experience. Different cultures, different parts of the world, they mourn differently. Whether, for example, in the Western culture, when a person passes away and they go to a funeral, majority of people wear black. It's a sign of respect. In another part of the world, you could go to a funeral and everybody is dressed in different colors, whatever their heart desires, because they're celebrating life. They're celebrating the person that passed away. It's not in a disrespectful form, but they understand that this person has transitioned into another form. Whether it's religious, cultural, or personal preference, everybody attaches a different meaning to the experience of mourning. One of the things that people talk about when they lose a loved one or move on to a different phase of life is their association with depression. And there's two types of depression: the practical implications of depression and the private. The private one has to do with emotional, where you're trying to seek a support system and not avoiding your emotions. And it's very important for people to know that there are support groups available. There are grieving groups available. There's different types of therapy available, whether you choose to go through it individually and walk through your mourning process, whether you're mourning a relationship, you're mourning a person, you're mourning a phase of your life. There are many different ways of taking small steps to regaining your whole, putting your whole world together, whether it's emotionally and mentally, and it doesn't necessarily have to do with mourning. They could do with any form of life transition. The practical implications of depression in this sense would be a person isolating themselves. They're trying to find their path of how to come to grips with reality. Some people, instead of facing their emotions, they're very good with finding distractions. Let's say, for example, someone has been married for quite a long time and all of a sudden they're going through a divorce. They're mourning that relationship, but they're also in denial of it, that instead of facing it head on, they're trying to delay the emotional pain that they've been walking around with, that they find distractions. And distractions may possibly be in the form of dating other people, even though they're not emotionally ready to date, or they find different hobbies or behaviors or types of people to surround themselves with just to keep them mentally afloat. But deep down, they're not ready to make any abrupt changes in their life or to even come to terms with the reality that stands before them. Everyone reacts differently with emotions that usually test our patience, our endurance, and the degree in which we have faith in ourselves. And it's also a good time for us to know those who wish us well and those who have been there just to have a good time. Now, going back to the idea of denial, just because a person is in denial, it doesn't mean that reality is on pause. Time doesn't stop for anybody. Life is still going on. This is where people have to realize that not everything happens according to our timing, according to our preference. We have to cooperate with the universe. It's a little bit as, why do bad things happen to good people? We can't question and microanalyze every event that happens that may possibly bring some calamity, including mourning. Mourning is part of life. Sooner or later, we're all apt to encounter it in some shape or form. Sometimes it's just a law of nature, and that's also a law of life. As we come into being on Earth, we are spiritual beings having a human experience. We learn our lessons, we refine our souls, we teach others, we learn from other people. And then when we reach a certain stage where we have fulfilled our life purpose, when the universe is fit, it will be our turn to transition to the hereafter, regardless of what the hereafter means for each person out there listening today. And that's a natural law of nature that I don't believe any other man would be able to interfere with it. It's going to happen whether or not we look forward to it. All of us have a time that will come, for example. To only a certain extent could we deny that type of reality. One of the fifth steps that was listed as number 5 was acceptance, that at some point in time, given along an individual's path, they will withdraw and accept the reality before them. They reach a point where they feel that they are at par emotionally and mentally enough to say, okay, I accept that this has happened and it's okay for me to move on. There's no set duration that for one person will take a year to mourn and another person could take 6 months. Everybody perceives reality differently. So saying what the norm is, quote unquote, would be unfair, because one thing normal for me, for example, may be very abnormal for another person. Everybody has a different threshold, which is dictated by the reality that they're living in the moment. Time may not always heal the circumstance, but time does accommodate if you allow time to be your ally. I usually tell people, don't make time to be your enemy. Make time to be your ally. There's always two extremes. I either hear from people who are really busy, I wish I had more time. And that's open to interpretation, assuming that they know what time management is. And then there is the other extreme where people feel, I have too much time on my hands and I'm waiting for life to happen. And it seems on that other polar extreme, they need to work on being mindful of their choices and fulfilling their life. Because sometimes people live through their life, they just go through the actions, but there's no meaning to their actions, there's no purpose. So you don't want to be on either extremes, but try to make time to be your ally. It's important to remember that regardless of what emotional challenges that a person may be encountering, if you are encountering any medical challenges that has to do with mental health issues or emotional issues, I highly encourage you to get checked out by a doctor. Please keep in mind that all of the content presented at the moment is in the context of spirituality and self-development and healing. But it doesn't mean that everyone out there is cut out to self-diagnose, because there are times where people come, they diagnose themselves, and I cannot confirm or attest to their statement because I am not a medical doctor. People should seek medical services from a licensed medical doctor if there are any concerns. Now, returning back to a few outlets that are available for people who are going through grieving or mourning and life transitions, there are 1-800 numbers that you can call, where there are phone services where you can talk to maybe a licensed counselor or a volunteer, but usually they are vetted, so make sure that if you do call, it's a legitimate hotline that's there to serve you. Then in every country, there are different numbers available. There are support groups, whether you meet people through social means, social platforms, in person or online. They're available there for grieving. They're available there for various behavioral conditions, various emotional transitions. There are life coaches available. And if you want to seek a practitioner, I would highly recommend you to do your research. You want to find someone that you feel comfortable with and you feel that you can be open with them in order for your healing to begin. In order for any form of inner healing to begin, one needs to be honest, not only with the person that may be helping them, but you have to be honest with yourself. You have to look at the truth, whether how okay it may be or how bad it may be at that moment. You may still be in denial, but you have to be open to whatever the healing may demand. And sometimes in order for us to heal, we have to let some of the poison out, metaphorically speaking, things that have been holding us back, whether they're people or things, conflict. What if you're mourning a person and you had unfinished business with them? If they have passed on, then you may be left with unresolved concerns that need to be heard, or you need assistance in working through those challenges, because now you're going to be walking around with that baggage. Now and then we all have a little bit of emotional baggage, but it's very important to ground your energy and learn how to cleanse that energy. No one deserves to be walking around with loads of emotional baggage that has not been dealt with. It's sometimes people put it on the side thinking life will get busy, I will forget about it, life will override whatever emotion I'm going through. Life can override pain, but the true root cause of pain will still remain there. So you want to pluck the seed out. And remember, when you're working through any form of healing or emotion, you're not there to rewrite history. Just because you may heal in the process of mourning eventually, it doesn't mean that you're negating a person's identity or their presence at some moment in time. If you're healing from a divorce, you're not taking away any value or integrity from the marriage that you had with your partner. It's still going to remain there. It's still going to be in your history. And not all life transitions are bad. Even though we may mourn them, it may be out of missing the person. It may be out of missing the opportunity. But whether or not we're ready to move on, if we keep on delaying changes in our path, life will throw a couple of hurdles our way, involuntary circumstances that we find ourselves in, and then we are left a little bit aghast wondering, why is this happening? It's life's way of saying, time for you to move along. Stop taking this much time. Sometimes when we don't want to deal with a challenge in our path, whether it could take days to resolve it or months to resolve it, we keep on telling ourselves we'll deal with it later and later and later, and we forget that we're not going to live to be 1,000 years old. Life is short. and some things are better off dealt in the present than later on. Or else the emotional baggage with it will snowball over time. There are many different dynamics of mourning, whether you're mourning a relationship, someone passing away, you walking away from an opportunity. There are times where people build resentment in the process of healing, and it's okay to have all of these other emotions surface, whether it's denial, wanting to be isolated, then you're accepting the reality, and then somehow you wake up one morning, there's anger in you, and you thought, okay, I already accepted the reality, that past is past, why am I feeling angry today? There are times where people go through the stages in order. Sometimes people go through them in different orders. Sometimes people skip the stages. It doesn't mean that just because you're mourning, you're necessarily going to be angry. Everyone is different. Everybody has, I would say, different spiritual thresholds that could help them emotionally along. And I do feel to some degree it also contributes to their emotional intelligence. Just because one person may not cry while they're mourning does not mean that they care any less about that circumstance than someone who has been crying their eyes out around the clock. There's no fair way, and not that there should be any judgment, of looking at one person's situation saying, this person is really mourning, and you look at the other one and say, this woman's husband passed away and she hasn't even batted her eyes. Both people could be going through a very deep experience, but they may communicate it differently. So never be deceived by looks, and do not judge, because you don't know what type of pain someone may be going through. Some people know how to wear it well, and they keep it their business, and then there are the people who need help managing it. So the definition of strong would be depicted in different light. Strong comes in many different ways, and I would highly recommend people who are going through transitions at this moment to share your stories, because other people could learn from you. There are many different ways of living life. There are many different incidences that may lead you to mourn. There are many people who look at these challenges of life transitions to be a spiritual, and they feel that it's a spiritual enlightenment, empowerment. They don't fear what comes next. And then there are those who have challenges working through the reality right now because they're fearing the uncertainty of what will happen next. Not everybody has the same support system. And that is why it's very important for all of us to some degree integrate ourselves in society. While some people may feel closed off and say, oh, I don't care about society, but society, to a certain degree, does care for you because you're a part of a community. There are going to be people who participate and those that just sit back and watch. But sooner or later, the one thread that connects to all of us is a human thread, the thread of humanity. And as Sasha talks, we don't only look at the conditions of people, but the experiences. There are only so many experiences that people could have in life, but there are many multitude number of lessons that people could extract, and they learn from one another. And from my experience from having other shows, when people call in, they share their stories, whether it's their pain, whether they're crying, or they're laughing. And within all of those emotions, there's one thing that binds everybody together. It's the sense of humanity. And this is where I would like to ask the audience members, clients, and prospective clients out there, that if you're going through transitions in your relationships, or you have lost a loved one, or you're embarking upon a new life phase and you're a little bit nervous and anxious, to share your story. And if we have your permission, with your first name only, I will be glad to share it through a few of the portals where Sasha Talks will be launching more of their more of the audio work. Again, one of the topics that we briefly discussed today was the book On Death and Dying, published in 1969, and it was presented on Psych Central in the five stages of mourning. And I should clarify that there are many writers out there, bloggers, researchers, scientists, medical doctors, that have written many other books that followed from there on. But it's just amazing to learn that with the amount of resources we have available today, thanks to technology, and versus what was available back in 1969, the author summed it up in five stages, and they were denial and isolation, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. And these steps do run parallel to working through emotions with other challenging life experiences. When there's a concern, we are usually in denial and you work your way up, but there's a 5-7 stage process leading you to acceptance. While there was a very brief overview shared with you, and I may have not brought justice to the topic, I do ask all of you to chime in and share your stories of what you were mourning. What lesson did you learn? Would you do anything differently? And what advice do you have for anyone mourning out there? And I look forward to reading your feedback and your guidance. Anyone interested in contacting, you're welcome to go to sashatalks.com, click on the contact page, and send a note, whether you want to drop a hello, whether you want to comment on one of your experiences or topics that you would like to see presented. It's always up for consideration. Thank you for tuning in. I want to wish everyone a positive note. Be good, be safe, be blessed. God bless.